KO4HKX, KO4HKX, KO4NUE.
For HKX, what's up, Chad?
What's going on, brother? You having a good day?
We're slow today.
That can be a good thing or a bad thing, I guess. But, listen, I just wanted, I can't remember who all we talked to about this, but I just cannot remember the conversation. But the 13th, that's what we settled on.
Understanding.
The 13th and a low country boil, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm just finalizing some things here on my calendar and just want to make sure I was right. So, okay. Well, that's all I needed. So, if you need anything, just give me a holler. I'll be here in radio for a while. But nice talking to you, bud. KO4NUE, 73, Patrick.
All right, Chad, 73s. But, yeah, I'm having a good day. Just, it's been slow and quiet, but I'm enjoying a beautiful day. So you have a good one out there, and I'll keep an ear out for you later. KO4HKX, 73s, Chad.
NUE and 0TR.
And 0TR, KO4NUE. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I talked to Amy about, while we were there just now, dropping off groceries, about that low country boil, and I'd only had it once. And that would be just fine. You don't need to make something different for me, like the chicken or that. The low country boil's excellent.
We can do that. I was going to special order one of those Kansas monkeys. From the Wizard of Oz to put in the pot. Figure that'd help you out a little bit.
That's kind of fearful you might do something like that, and more likely it'd be possum innards or something.
No, I'm just kidding with you. I'd be afraid Miss Bernice would get a handful of it, and I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, Amy said there was Polish sausage in it, or some kind of sausage, and there's shrimp in it, and that. And I like that, and corn, and I don't know what else. And she says that she throws a bunch of burner on it before she puts it out there. But yeah, I'll be fine with that. Granny on Beverly Hillbillies always had possum innards.
I don't know if I could do that. I've had possum one time, and yeah, this is not my cup of tea, I guess. But that old man down the road, Barney Sloan, he ran a meat locker here years ago for the community, and he kept all kind of stuff in the meat locker. Possums, raccoons, whatever, you know, this was years and years ago. And he'd have people over there on Saturday nights, and, you know, they'd cook whatever they brought, you know. And my granddad took me over there, and he had a possum. They were eating a possum. And, man, I just remember that he'd bite into that thing, that old fat, it just run down his beard, and he, you know, he'd just wring his beard out with fat dripping off of it. And I just, I can't do it, brother. I just can't do it.
They want my lunch. I'm sitting here eating blackberries and blueberries on the way home. I'm about to spit that one out. Yeah, the game wardens used to put on a big feed, and they would cook a little bit of everything. I don't know about possum. I heard they were greasy. But the raccoons and that, yeah, I've heard tell they're pretty darn good. Rattlesnake's good. But I'd have to pass on that. Never ate any of that. Oh, the wind's blowing, so I'm getting notifications every few minutes that somebody's in my driveway, and I know they ain't, and I don't touch that phone anyways, but it kind of jingles there in the background. But yeah, I like sausages, and I like all the other stuff that she mentioned. I've only had it once, and That's why I thought, well, maybe not, but where in the heck the road go to here in Chan? They got so many of these orange barrels, I don't know which ones to go between.
If you can't find a way, just run over them. They're collapsible.
This big old 12-ton truck or whatever it is in front of me, he'll take care of that. I got to stay back from him. He's got a load, and he did not cover it. I guess he's just going right here to this construction site we're passing. So I'm going to give him lots of room there while he pulls in.
Careful out there, man. I had to drive all the way on the other side of Greer this morning to pick up those hydraulic hoses, and, man, I don't know what happened. It's like this place just all of a sudden, I woke up one morning and it's just a metropolis or something. I mean, it's just, you can't hardly go anywhere without just a whole bunch of traffic.
Any better, if you go up Highway 14, you ought to see the new construction going on up there. It's pretty incredible. And they can build them so fast anymore with all of these battery-operated power tools and that, and the prefab rafters and everything, and they build them on a slab, and it's just a lot faster, you know, to make a foundation that way, I'm sure. Oh, C'est la vie. When we first come down here, there was houses all over the place, and they were empty and repossessed and bank-owned and all of that. I wish them well, but what goes up comes down at times. It's kind of like a sine wave, you know. it's just one of those things, Chad. But, yeah, I don't like traffic. And I'm not accustomed to it. Well, I am accustomed to it now, but I sure like the traffic better back up there. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And you and I, we live out far enough. We at least can get away from it.
So a couple months ago, they sent a crew out here to put change the telephone poles and change the power lines going up and down Mount Lebanon Road. And it took them a while. But I got to looking, so the conductors on top of the telephone pole, oh, I'd say probably about 3/8 of an inch in diameter. And when they came through and upgraded the poles and the transmission lines up here, if you take a look at it, I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to 1 inch. That's a big conductor they got on top of those transmission lines. And I guess that's trying to accommodate all this housing, I guess. But I couldn't believe it. I ain't no telling what that cost them.
TR. Yeah, it all depends on the voltage you're running through it, but in the current, of course. But Chad, I'd say the smaller one you're talking about was a number two or an aught, and they're probably running 4-aught, maybe even 250,000 circular mils. I'm not sure. But it's aluminum, so it's lighter than what you would imagine. But still, you get that size of wire up there, it's crazy. And another good thing is it's not insulated, so that takes a lot of the weight away.
So when they were out here, we went out there at the end of the driveway to, you know, see what was going on and watch him work, and we talked with a foreman there. I think sounded like he was Canadian, actually. I don't know if that's possible, but he had a whole crew out there, and he asked if, you know, they could park the vehicles out at the end of the driveway while they were doing all the work for a couple of weeks. And, you know, we didn't have an issue with that at all. But we went out there one day, and he had one of his younger kids that was working with him on the crew, and he was chewing him up and down one side or the other. He left a drill bit. The young kid left a drill bit somewhere, and it wasn't in the truck. And he was just, you know, up and down, just letting him have it. And, he, you know, I mean, he could tell it embarrassed the boy a little bit, which he probably should have. But I told the foreman, I said, well, you know, we got a machine shop out here. You know, just tell me what you need. And, you know, I was going to go out there and get it. And he said, you got a machine shop out here? And I said, oh, get in the Jeep. Let's go for a ride. So we brought him out here, to the machine shop. And I just told him, I said, what kind of drill bit you want? You want a wood bit, ceramic bit, metal bit, mill bit? Which one you want? But we got what he needed, and he had to poke a hole in a transformer plate and hang the transformer out there. But he left us some telephone poles. He pulled all the telephone poles up, dropped them out there at the end of the driveway. So we got, I don't know, 7 or 8 poles out of it, and kept them from hauling them off, which was a good thing.
Yeah, Roger on that. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of guys when back in the old CB days, they'd put their antennas on top of those, and I know where one's at down here I've seen. And I don't know if it's a good alternative or not, but I would think it would be. Well, we had a brilliant idea when we were CBers and, probably in our early 20s. Me and my buddy went out to an old telegraph line, and it was an abandoned railroad shed. And so the wires, most of them were gone, and they were copper-clad steel, and they weren't worth anything, so nobody would say you were stealing copper. But we wanted that pole for that antenna. And like I said, it was an abandoned rail line. It wasn't even used anymore. And so we get the right idea. We didn't have anything to haul it in. So we hooked the chain around it after we cut it down with a chainsaw, and we drug it home. Well, from where we picked it up out in a little mining community from in the early 1900s, told me he got that thing home, and we just drug it behind the car, an old 57 Ford. And when we got home, about half of it was gone from dragging it down the road. So we had to go to Plan B.
Oh, my gosh. How many miles did y'all drag it?
Oh, probably 8 or 10 miles. well, we was young and dumb, and we thought we'd really pulled off a caper. It didn't do any good for the chain, to be honest with you.
Oh, my goodness. We used to drag chains behind the old wrecker we had there in the unit. I bet you had 15, 20 chains on it to pull engines and recovery operations, things like that. And it'd sit in them old boxes and get rusty. And we'd tie them off to the back of the wrecker when we get down to Fort Jackson or Fort Stewart. And we'd drag them behind the wrecker for, a couple of hours, a day or so. And they'd get all the rust off of them, and then we'd soak them in some oil and put them back in the storage box, and it didn't make it so awful to handle when you grease all over your hands all the time working on those howitzers, and you get old rusty chain. It's just nasty. So we kept them clean. We just drag them behind the truck, the wrecker, and get them cleaned up, and oil them up, and put them back in a box, but I've never seen a telephone pole drug halfway. Man, that's a lot of effort. Were you able to even use it?
Yeah, Yeah, we used it. It just wasn't quite as tall anymore. We had to cut that part off. But this was way out in the country, and there was no houses there at that time. In later years, they started building houses out there, which was crazy. It was mine land. And the engineer said that the ground wouldn't settle for 300 years, but they still built houses out there. Then the basements would crack and yada, yada, yada. Even when they drove pilings and that, they still had all kinds of trouble. But there wasn't a soul out there then. And we went all dirt roads home, except you had to cross the highway one time. And but it was just the dirt roads that eroded that telephone pole. A lot worse than what we'd figured on. But yeah, Tobe, he had that CB antenna, that penetrator, they called it, up there for a lot of years. He had a trailer house out there in the country next to his dad's home. Now he lives out there in his dad's home. But you remember the good old days, Chad. And yeah, I know what you mean by chains. We had chains that they lifted these big kilns with. And I think the chains, weighed something like 750 pounds, Chad. They were just humongous things. And we'd hook them on a 50-ton crane and lift those kilns with them. But it'd take two guys just to lift that ring over the top of the hook on the crane, you know.
We didn't have anything that big. I think the biggest thing we had was probably a half-inch length diameter on the actual length, but it was, I don't know, probably 10 feet long. It wasn't, I mean, it was heavy, don't get me wrong, but, oh, man, nothing that big. That's huge. I mean, it's getting up into ships and anchors and things like that, I guess.
Yep, they're a good deal bigger. Been up in the forecastle on a carrier and looked at those chains, and wow, they are monstrous. They figure that's what tore up that oil line, I think, last time I heard, out there in California where they had that oil spill. One of them tankers accidentally drug the feeder line that comes into the beach and ruptured it, and I could see where it would.
So a couple months ago, my cousin Chris, he was he had some pictures when he was in the Marines, and he was showing me a picture of him hanging through the anchor hole in the ship. He had a, I think he had somebody holding his feet, but he was hanging upside down through the anchor hole. I forget what ship it was he was on, but I just thought, oh man, how crazy is that? I mean, you really trust somebody to hold your feet, but I still laugh about it. Ain't no way I'd do that, man. You fall out there, nobody'd even miss you.
That's
Bellowwood, KO4KOD. Man, we just, I guess you heard that.
And out, Chad, no joy on the last transmission.
KO4QLG, you in there, Chris? No audio. You're making the repeater, but no audio. So that was the USS Bellowwood, is that correct? Audio, brother. Okay, well, fellas, I'm gonna call it quits. I run up to the local radio club here in town and talk with the president for a little bit. Got to do modification on my Yaesu, and I'm going to see if I can get him to help me do a little bit of soldering on it. So I'm going to step out, and I'll talk with y'all later. Tom, N0TR73 is to you. K KO4QLG. 73s to you, Chris. And I'm going to come up there in a couple of days, Chris. And this is KO4NUE, and I'll be clear on y'all's final.
Well, at least I'm driving with a smile on my face, or our face. We're behind a big tanker truck up here, Chan. And it says, your number two is our number one, South Carolina septic tank. Have a good day with a smile on your face. This is N0TR.
Four QLG, are you on the Handy or are you on the 2980? No audio. I'm on, grab your phone. I'll give you a holler on the landline. KO4 NUE clear.
Four DJW mobile.
WN0TR. Just want to say hi, Dave. We're just passing the fire department here in Cunningham. So, you know, we won't be here long.
Headed home, not headed out, huh?
QSL. Hope you're having a good day. The wind might have died down enough you could fly, but you've probably already been out to lunch. It's 1:53, so you're probably going flying.
In the drive-through line at CVS, Amy's got a dentist appointment in the morning. I got to pick up her meds that she has to take tomorrow morning before we go, and then I have to sit with her, and when she gets out, I have to drive her back home. I'll be driving Miss Amy tomorrow.
Yeah, seem like I've heard that before. Oh, shoot. What's that?
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Bernice. You doing okay?
Oh, yes. How about you?
I'm doing good. You taking care of Tom? You keeping him straight?
Trying to.
That'd be a full-time occupation. Oh, we just been to Sam's and Costco's over at Spartanburg, Dave. And then we went down past the daughters, and the kids got their 9 weeks, or I don't know what you call it, grades. And I always give them a little money for character, not for the grades. And took them down some blueberries and blackberries and a rotisserie chicken and some Gatorade Zero. And then we just headed for home. But it's a nice drive. They're 14 miles south.
With that, I got to spend all day Saturday with my granddaughter from Raleigh. One of the two of them. One of them came, the other one didn't. She's doing really good. She was out at the Mesa Center. They had games there. She brought a friend with her. Spent the whole day there. It was fun. I thought we were going to get rained out, but the rain never fell, not a drop one. And then we went out to eat afterwards, and then they went on down to Columbia. Finished their tour and went back to Raleigh. So it's kind of nice. I didn't know they were going to do that. That's kind of a nice surprise. They pulled us in at the last minute.
Excellent. It's always good to spend time with family, Dave. I'll tell you. And they were in there. They get October 1st and October 2nd off. Don't ask me what for. But Jordan, the youngest one, he was playing games with his buddy. And they was playing... Each one was playing three games, and the screen was split in half. And I don't know how they do it. And then the other grandson, he just come down long enough to get some blackberries and collect his booty and head back upstairs. I don't know who he had up there, if anybody. But, you know, with this Jordan, a lot of times when you walk in the house, he's walking around like a crazy man swinging things in the air. That's virtual reality. And that's the way it is nowadays, virtually real.
Accelerometers and those things, and I don't know if they have GPS in them or not, but they can tell when it moves at what angle in three-dimensional space. That's pretty cool. I know those Wii 2s, when they came out many, many years ago, had that stuff in there, and it's kind of hard to believe you could stand like a batter in a batter's box and a pitch could come at you out of the television and you could hit it and it would depending on how you swung, it would figure out where you hit the ball, where the ball was going. It was kind of cool technology. It just, that stuff just keeps getting better and better all the time. And by the way, you're probably getting close to home, and I am second up at the window, so just letting you know in case I disappear. W4DJW.
Okay, Dave, I want to jump out here and talk to this prime guy anyways. 73 is nice here in 02.
Have a good day. You too, Bernice. W4DJW. Clear and listening.
QLGKO4NUE. UE, no contact. I'm clear. QLGKO4NUE. QE, no contact. I'm clear.
W4DJW mobile.
W4DJW, KO4NUE. How are you today, Dave?
Been good. It's a beautiful day out here. Nice to get outside and enjoy the beautiful day during the daylight hours. How about you? How you doing?
Just, my cousin's having a little trouble with his handy talking. We're trying to figure it out on the phone and what's going on. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the thing, but I go up there and work with him. We'll work together on it next time I'm up there and figure out what the deal is. But at any rate, you are exactly right. It is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, and just a pleasure to be outside.
Fix, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. I'm on Wade Hampton in Greer, headed toward Greenville, but I'll turn off before I get there. But looking at the mountains over at Paris Mountain as I hit the top of the hills, and I can see clear, straight there, all the way. There's no haze or anything. It's like, wow. that is very pretty. All this cold air has got all the dirt and moisture out of the air. You can see straight across. All the way to Paris Mountain. Beautiful. I imagine if you were sitting up higher, like some of the places over in Campobello, you can see the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. And I imagine that's beautiful from where you're at.
Yeah, it is. I was up at Landrum this morning. We've got, Dad's got a farm up there on the side of a big hill. And you can see couple of miles of the Blue Ridge Mountain chain, and I went up there and worked on the bobcat for him this morning, and I just sat there for a few minutes. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful, and just, I mean, I had on long sleeves this morning too. It felt really nice.
Got out. I went out before the sun came up. I used to do that around 5 or 6 o'clock when I wake up, waiting for the coffee, so that when I come back in, I just make one trip downstairs, and put the coffee on, and then go outside, walk to the front of the yard, walk to the back of the yard, walk down both sides, and by the time I get back, the coffee's brewed, and I can get me a cup of coffee and go upstairs. It was chilly. It's 44 degrees. When the news came on, they told what the temperature was, 44 degrees. But that felt really, really good. And I like to pop a multivator up at 400 feet and do a really slow 360-degree turn when it's like that. And the view that you take in, when you come back down and you stitch all that into one single panoramic view, it's just gorgeous. It is. You can't get anything better, especially early in the morning or right before dusk. You can't get any better pictures than that.
Yeah, so me and Anna we were talking about you last night, as a matter of fact. We were watching a YouTube video, and there's a company in Australia that has designed a car that's got these, I guess the only way I know to describe it would be like a drum rotor, but there's airplane fins, and four of them mounted in each rotor, and they were doing testing on that inside a hangar, and we got to talking about you, and I said, man, next time I talk with Dave, I'm going to see if he
kind of knows about that, because, I mean, it was fascinating to watch this thing fly, even though it was in a hangar doing testing. But, man, I'm going to tell you, this batteries and technology is just really opening up some new windows.
Let me correct about that. I was telling my wife about one that I saw on YouTube. Might have been the same one you're talking about. But I did see another one called Cyclocopter. And it's totally different than the other ones. There are the other ones. It's a hexcopter. I think the guy in England's got that one that a human is riding around in now. So they've got it up to where humans, it's got flight controllers that meet the specs. The little things that I do don't meet the specs of very human life on board. But this one does. And there's a guy, the flight test went to visit this one guy that has a hexcopter. And he was out there doing loops and rolls over the water with a hexcopter that's got conventional rotor blades, you know, two like a propeller, and it's got one motor facing up, one motor facing down, and it's got six of those for a total of 12 motors, 12 props, and that's pretty cool. And they're getting close to being able to market it. Toyota's got one, Honda's got one, and there's a company in Australia that's got one, the Cyclocopter, that doesn't have rotor blades, round, like an airplane propeller. It has instead a drum that has wings inside the drum, five wings inside of each drum, and the drum spins on its side, and they change the pitch of the wings. So as the wing comes up to the top of the drum, it's got positive pitch, which lifts. As it goes to the bottom of the drum, it's got negative pitch, which pushes. And these things can lift huge payloads, enormous payloads, and they make much less noise than a helicopter. That technology is just phenomenal, the things that they're doing. It's just exploding. I was telling my wife about that. She found some other ones, the cars that would do 200, the cruise at 210 miles an hour, like you're talking about. They're popping up all over the place, Chet.
Yeah, that's the one we were looking at. I can't remember the name of it, though, but they had it tethered inside a hangar and was doing some testing. But it looks like, I don't know, about a 5-gallon bucket on each axle, and it's got fins inside that drum. And, we were impressed. I mean, we really were. It's just like, man, I cannot believe that, you know, technology's moving this fast with this stuff. And then a couple of months ago, we were watching a guy, I think it was in Texas, he had converted his little Cessna into a battery-powered airplane, a full-size airplane. I think he could only get about 50 minutes of fly time, something like that. But he sat in that thing, and there was no engine noise. The engine's just clean. No knobs, no nothing. And, he hit the button to go, and he was gone. And, I just thought, man, that must be something else to be able to just, you know, push one little lever and just go with it. But we got a big kick out of that. We thought that was funny.
The driving reason that Amy and I were talking about that is that we were stuck in traffic. We were sitting somewhere. We were sitting there for a long time. Oh, well, I remember it was after my granddaughter's soccer game, and we were going up Haywood Road. And we were sitting there, and we were thinking, man, how many years has it been since we've been over here? And it had been a lot of years. And I was telling her, you know, technology, this can't continue. There's getting more and more people constantly, and these places are getting more and more crowded. If you go over to California between L.A. and San Diego, that's, you know, if there was no traffic, that's probably a 30 to 45-minute ride. But every day it's 4 hours for them. That's just ridiculous. Like, God, we've got to go vertical. We can't continue this 2D stuff. It's not going to work for us anymore. And that's probably one of the driving forces behind all of that technology change. And I was telling her about Elon Musk and all of his, you know, contributions to that. She told me he's a crazy guy. He is kind of crazy. But if you think about it, he is now worth more. I mean, one of the things about technical people is they usually make bad investments because they just want technology to be better than it really is. This guy is now, he's making technology investments, and he's now worth more than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett combined. So that tells you the geeks are onto something there. It's working for him, even though he's crazy.
I think he's developing the civilian space program too, and I like to keep up on things like that. I do that through YouTube, I guess, but I think we have a PBS app on our TV, and we like to watch PBS with Nova, and Nova's my favorite show. But last season, I think they had a special on a solar-powered glider, airplane-ish kind of glider thing. It had Solstice or Solar Wind or something was the name of it. And that thing flew all the way around the world. Now, it took them a year to do it, but they had, you know, they were filming inside the cockpit. Or the pilot was, and just managing the batteries and managing the winds and how much sun came in on the panels. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating to see how, you know, I mean, they're using the sun to do that with. I've got a small solar grid up at the deer camp, and I'm just fascinated that, you know, I can put voltage back into my batteries and not have to fire an engine up or go buy diesel fuel or fuel or this, that, and the other. Now, I can't do heavy loads with it, but hey, it's a start, you know? I mean, it's that's got to be progress, right? KO4 NUE.
I like doing the same thing that you're talking about, and I like this guy, RC Flight Test. He builds solar planes, and one of his main points that he focuses on is when his solar plane goes up and exceeds the usage of the amount of available milliamp hours that are in the battery that's in there. Like if he has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, then when his on-screen display says you've used up 4,001 milliamp hours and his plane is still flying, he's saying, well, there you go. Right, there's proof positive that these solar panels. And so he did a test flight that went 100 kilometers. And he used up like three or four times the amount of milliamp hours that his battery pack would. And his battery packs, they're just they act like a big capacitor, right? It just holds on to spare electricity. It gives it up when it needs it, but it's like a little reserve tank so that if you get kind of low, you got something to bridge you from one low spot to another, which, you know, I think that's pretty cool that people do that kind of thing. You don't have to be Elon Musk to do that. You can be regular Joe Schmo, and you can get out there and help. You're buying the tech. You're spending money on it, and that means you're rewarding the company that went out and did the work to figure out what it is you want that's in that area, and you're showing them, you're rewarding them by giving them money and going out and tinkering with it and getting it to do things you want it to do. So you're pushing the technology, and you know what? There's a lot more of us than there are those rich guys out there like Elon Musk. We can actually spend more than they can if we all push in that same direction.
Yeah, I think that's it's absolutely fascinating. I got a little work trailer that's got all my tools and things like that on it that I pull behind the truck. And I've got a little solar generator that I built and mounted in it. And I got a little 100-watt solar panel. And I've run all my tools off of that. I've got a small air compressor. There's a 3,000-watt inverter. It'll run a skill saw pretty good if you work it all day or get into heavy wood. It struggles a little bit, but you know, for one man, I just run off of the batteries, and I got a little charge controller there. And at the right time of day, you know, if I keep the panel right on the sun, I mean, I can put right back in what I take out. And I've had the trailer now probably 2 years, 2.5 years. And when I park it in the shop, I just pull my panel out and hang it on the shop and close the door. And that keeps my batteries at full charge. And I just go wherever I want. And, you know, I've got limitations with it. But like I said, hey, it's a start, you know. It's a start. And I think it's great that people are trying to do something to get some of this carbon footprint down, and I think that's a really good way to do it. And it's pretty fun and inexpensive. That's the great thing about it. It's relatively cheap.
Contributing toward it, and they can continue to get that price down. As people, you know, people don't buy into it, then the price goes up. But people buying into it gets that price down. Anyway, I'm idling here in the driveway, so I got to run inside. I got honeydews that need doing so that I can continue to do my flying like I want to. I got to keep a certain quantity of honeydews accomplished so that flying doesn't become an issue. Anyway, Chad, good talking to you. Till Anna, we said, hey, you guys take care. KO4NUEW4DJW.
73 today. Have a wonderful day. And tell Miss Amy we said hello. KO4NUE, I'm clear.